Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, episode number 28. This podcast is brought to you by the Global Workspace Association. Today I talk to Dale Hersowitz, CEO of One Systems and Happy Desk. We talk about how the Internet of Things is opening up opportunities for improving the member experience in a shared workspace. Dale gives some great examples of how Wi-Fi-enabled devices can change the way we manage operations and delight our members. If you think the Internet of Things sounds a little Jetsons, it is not. It's here. Enjoy the show. Welcome to our podcast today. I'm so excited to be here with Dale Hersowitz from One Systems. Dale, thanks for joining me today from Miami.
Of course.
I'm excited to have Dale today. So Dale and I wanted to chat about kind of a big topic that is sort of central to, well, lots of things that are going on in the world today, and we're going to tie it into workspace. So first, a quick intro to Dale. So Dale is the CEO of One Systems and Happy Desk. And One Systems, if you haven't heard of them, lots of people have, 45,000 end users in 450 spaces. So they're a leading provider of cloud-based voice, data, and Wi-Fi products for the shared space community. And we may grab some time at the end of the podcast to talk a little bit more about that. But what we're going to focus on today is kind of a broader topic of the Internet of Things. So Dale, do you want to kind of jump in? You and I did kind of a pre-chat yesterday, and you were really excited about this topic and sort of bigger picture non-workspace ways that it plays into our lives. And then we'll kind of dive into, you know, how is this showing itself in the workplace setting?
Sure, sure, of course. Well, just for our listeners, so if the concept of Internet of Things is new to them, I'll just give like the textbook definition, and we can maybe just talk about a real world application. So by definition, if you were to go Google Internet of Things, you take a network of physical objects, devices that are embedded with either sensors, electronics, and network connectivity, and you enable all these objects to talk to one another and exchange data via the internet. And so I think the easiest example all of us can relate to is most of us today, even if our car is not a 2016, cars have changed so dramatically. I mean, when we get in your car, I'll use example, like you get in like, say, like an Audi, you get in your car and you turn the car on and the car immediately tells you, look, your tire pressure in all four of your tires is okay. Your oil is working. So it's talking to your tires, it's talking to your engine. It'll tell you on your navigation that there's traffic on the highway coming up. You're Sirius. If you haven't paid your Sirius bill, it says like it's going to expire in 30 days. And it will tell you, like, for example, some of the newer cars will automatically, if the air quality is poor outside, it'll tell you poor air quality and switch on the recycle on your HVAC and you're within your car. So what's happened is it's gone from to where all these different pieces of your car are all talking to one another through essentially a platform, and that platform being your car center console. And more importantly, that console is actually talking to the internet and could be alerting like the manufacturer or other components of the vehicle as to what's going on. So that's sort of the Internet of Things in an automotive application.
Yeah, I think that's a great example. And I think this is an example of the user experience is getting sort of so far along that we start to expect these experiences in our lives. Like, you know, you and I were talking about the Nest thermostat. Like, no one's ever going to install a traditional thermostat before. They want one that they can operate from their iPhone. You know, same thing with a doorbell and speakers. I just got a Sonos speaker for our garage where I have some gym equipment. And, you know, our regular stereo takes like three remote controls to get to Pandora. You know, and on the Sonos, I can just hit a couple of swipes and I'm listening to whatever I want to listen to. And that just becomes the standard in your mind. So I think this is kind of fun to talk about, to think about like what are consumers experiencing in other areas and how will this start to play into workplace. So talk about, you know, you had some ideas about how we're going to start seeing this play out in workspace. Talk a little bit about that.
So what's interesting is you're seeing it at all different levels. And I think what's happening is commercial buildings are adapting this technology and then it's sort of pulling into the workspace. But I'll talk about something which almost everyone has experienced in a major city is, and I think we're going to talk of some of like a member experience, right? Like one of the most challenging things is if your workspace is in a major building, like a 20-story building, your challenge is trying to find parking. And so you've seen some of these new, what's called smart parking spaces or smart parking lots, where the actual spaces have sensors in the ground. And when you pull up the lot, it'll say floor one, 20 spots available, floor two, 30 spots, floor three. And as a user, that's fantastic because you're like, oh my gosh, floor one's completely full. So I'm going to drive to floor versus drive around and around and around and around. And the anger level is building because you're like, I'm late to my meeting. And so just starting at the most basic level, which is I need to get to my space. I need to park the vehicle. And obviously, this is not applicable to all spaces. But in a space where you have a structured parking lot, they're realizing we should have each in space talk to some kind of centralized platform. And then you get into the space, and I think you're starting to see a lot of different systems interacting with one another. You're seeing that the door control, which used to be all of us walking around these key cards, which drive me nuts because I have one for one of the spaces that I visit often and I always leave it in the car, and so I have to walk back to the car to go get it, are now just going, but you know, whoever forgets their smartphone, right? Like the smartphone is like, is your life. God forbid you leave that in the car, but you'll leave the key card, but not the smartphone. And so what's happening is the door control systems are now, like similar to your analogy of the Nest thermostat, are talking to your phone. And it makes it so much easier. You can just go to your phone. You can literally just hold your phone to it. And now you get access to the facility. So I think in that example, you see what's changing is that the member experience or the user experience is just increasing dramatically because it's just making their life so much easier from parking the vehicle now to getting into the space. And from someone who's asked to manage one of these spaces, it's dealing with all these different components. And before the Internet of Things, it was maybe feasible to do these different items, but you had all these things separated. And there wasn't some kind of central platform tying all these things together and allowing them to talk to one another. Like, I'll take it a step further. When most of us, we sort of take for granted when you go into an office, the HVAC or the heating or the cooling is there's a little thermostat on the wall, and then the lights either turn on or off. Maybe they're sensor driven, and maybe there's Wi-Fi, and maybe there's telephony. And like, take for example, like a conference room. And what's interesting is that wouldn't it be phenomenal if when you walked into that room, that the room automatically knew what your ideal temperature setting was. It knew that, hey, you were this Wi-Fi user and you were able to just get on the Wi-Fi. The lights would automatically adjust to the settings you want if there's multiple lights in there. So I think what's happening is you're getting into these smart spaces where all these devices are talking to one another and also interacting with the user. And that not only does it help the user experience, but it also lead to, I think a lot of the commercial properties, they're looking at, wow, there's huge efficiencies in savings on electricity and HVAC, but also we don't have to do this where, okay, the HVAC turns off at 5:30 on Friday and it returns on at 6:30 on Monday morning.
Based on like random, yeah.
Because I think, I mean, I don't know, Jamie, I'm guessing if you're like me, we don't live in a world anymore of 8 to 5.
Right.
We live in a world where you get work done when you need to versus I can only work 8 to 5. And outside of that, it's miserable to work in the office because all the environmental conditions aren't set.
Right, totally. The lights are off. It's hot or cold. And I think that's a challenge for people who run shared spaces. If people have 24/7 access, which if you have smartphone entry systems, you can see at any point who's in the space and who's not, which is amazing for security comfort. Then you want them to be comfortable, but you don't know how to program for that, to your point. So, you know, if you have people who stay till 8 or 9 at night, or right, you can't create an environment that's comfortable for them. But with smarter systems, you can, and you could even sort of isolate it. Because, you know, in Chicago, we have this huge brick and timber loft space, and it pains me to leave the HVAC running because it's so expensive to heat. You know, if you gotta heat the whole open space or cool it down, it's not like you can isolate that to a room or two. So the day we get to where it's really easy to plug in those smart sensors and heat up a conference room or heat up one area of the space, that'll be amazing.
What's even more interesting, I think, if you look at it from a, so you mentioned like a management point of view, right? I know you live in California and you had that space in Chicago, correct? It's that's where, and one of the biggest things about this Internet of Things is bringing control, right? It's control and what I call almost certainty, in that if you look at everything, like if someone said to you, look, Jamie, I want to come use your space on the weekend and you're not in Chicago, you don't have to coordinate with 3 or 4 different people to be able to get that environment ready, from providing them internet access to making sure that in the case of the winter, a Chicago winter is really cold.
The heat's on.
So they're not sitting there like literally shivering why it's happening. So I think when you look at the future where this is going, I think obviously building owners, and then you go to shared space owners, they're looking at saying, well, you know, this allows us to become not just more efficient with like savings on electricity and other than that, but also more efficient in that we can provide these flexible environments and have control, and we don't have to physically be there. You know, I could pull this up on my smartphone, or I can automate this. I could pre-schedule it. I could say, I know that I have a visitor coming in on Saturday, and I can set all these controls, and all these different things are going to work with one another. What's interesting, I was reading an article, and an Italian firm is constructing a new building, and they were talking that they're going to be putting sensors on all the water pipes. And what's interesting is I was thinking, well, how important is that? And I said, I'm not a GC, so obviously did some further due diligence on it. What's interesting is they were talking about that, you know, one of the biggest things is, and I actually can relate to this because I had a water pipe burst in my kitchen when I was gone for traveling and came back to just a fun-filled nightmare. And so one of the things they're doing now is they're putting sensors on the water pipes that talk to the internet and talk to all the other building systems so that if there's a pressure variation in any of the pipes, it'll automatically send alerts to a central platform. So it's interesting how even like very simple things, I mean, you can say, well, it makes sense to have Wi-Fi connected, it makes sense to have internet and telephony and door control, but now they're taking this down to things like water pipes.
Yeah.
And who would think like how important that is? But I think traditional spaces, and if you own the space yourself, you're constantly like, well, you're dealing with surprises, which are never fun. If systems like this can provide you with real-time intelligence and data, and if we think about how it's being done today, it's being done by physical inspections and people, and it's, I don't know if, I said, I think that this is really where the future's heading, and I think, you know, you and I were chatting yesterday, and we're talking about where Cisco had that major acquisition of Jasper, and Jasper is a company that really drives, it's another company that is driving this concept. They've built a platform for this Internet of Things, and it's a $1.4 billion acquisition. So, I mean, me as a technologist, that really leads me to believe that if a company like Cisco, it's hedging its bets on that this is the future of all things. And I think what's going to happen is we get more and more, like you mentioned Sonos, I have Sonos, love it. An amazing company, right? So I've seen Sonos in some of the shared spaces. And so as we get used to in our homes using Nest and using Sonos, and I have in my home, I have something called a Belkin system, which anybody can buy. You change out your physical electrical outlets and you put the Belkin system in and you can now control every outlet in your home. So I can set my lights to turn on.
Interesting.
It also monitors my electricity utilization. So not that I'm like, I mean, it's interesting to see, but I'm like, oh, you use an extra 5 cents electricity.
Right. This turn that light off.
Exactly. Don't leave the lights on tonight. But what is interesting is, it's funny, I used to come home to like a dark home and I tried using those timers. I'm like, this just stinks. I'm like, because of the time change. And so my friend's like, use Belkin. It's like, it's cheap. You just drop it in. You don't have to be an electrician. I put it in and it's phenomenal. I walk home now and it automatically, it talks to, it knows that you tell it what city you're in. So you say, okay, I want my lights to turn on 1 hour before sunset. You can have different conditions. Like on Saturdays, turn on a little earlier. And I walk in and I have my Sonos playing and I have my lights on.
Nice.
My Nest thermostat setting the temperature perfectly. So I have a little chill in the air after a hot day in Miami. So it's like I'm becoming spoiled because I come home to this and then, you know, I walk into perhaps a work environment where these things aren't there. And I'm like, why doesn't this exist? And I think we're seeing that in all aspects of our lives. So I think, you know, you can tell me what your thoughts are. I think what, as consumers, we're going to start demanding this outside of just our homes and our vehicles and want this same experience in our work environment.
Yeah, I think that's right. And that's one of the interesting, fun challenges of kind of being in this industry at this point is there are 4,000 or 5,000 executive business suite shared spaces, and then co-working is just exploding. You know, since 2005, this year, there are projected to be 12,000 spaces worldwide. So just the growth of the industry has been really fast. And I think the next big step is going to be exactly what we're talking about, the member experience inside those spaces, because all of a sudden there's going to be a lot of them. And it's going to be, you know, the spaces are going to be looking for ways to differentiate and provide a better member experience. And unfortunately, if the guy down the road has the parking sensors and the iPhone entry system and really amazing HVAC sensors, then it's going to be hard to compete against that. So I think it's good to be thinking about these things and not necessarily go run out and change a bunch of things right now, but know that that's coming and start thinking about, you know, how do you integrate some of those things to create, you know, a delightful member experience. And I think to your point, like, you know, a lot of the hotels have apps and you can do check-in and then you can use, some of them are switching their locks to the phone entry. And so at home, in your car, at a hotel, you know, those things are just happening everywhere. And I also think in shared space, as more corporate users start to float between corporate office and third space, So there are a lot of corporate offices that are really pretty advanced on these types of things, and where it makes sense because they're in a big Class A commercial building where they're starting to integrate some of these things, then those corporate users will also just be really used to those things. And then they'll come into a shared space that has none of it and feel like, why are we so behind the times here? So it's good to be thinking about.
I agree. You know what's something which is funny? So we talk about shared spaces. Is it's such a simple thing. Like, we don't print all that often, right? I mean, most of us now are digital, but when we do need to print, it's such an undertaking. Like, you have to go find the community manager and then you have to download the driver.
The driver, totally. I know. I just got a printer at home and I was like, really? Do I still need a driver? That seems
exactly.
I was resisting the printer at home because I just like, right, you don't want to print anything. And then I was like, haven't they fixed this yet? Where this just works?
So it's got to a point where it's crazy. Like on my keychain, I carry a little USB, one of these little 8 gig USB drives. And everyone's like, why do you have that? I was like, well, because it's such an undertaking. And so what's interesting is like one of my missions that we've now solved is printing should be just this seamless experience. Like, why do we still have to pull drivers? Why can't my computer talk to this printer through a network, through an internet? Why do I have to have a driver that talks directly to it? So I think that's one thing. And then what's also really interesting is as shared spaces get into, you know, as they grow, and of course, like it's amazing, like co-working is getting such fantastic publicity and you see it everywhere. My 93-year-old grandma sent me, I think it was the cover of one of the magazines, and I think it was Adam Newman was on it. And keep in mind, she doesn't have a smartphone, doesn't have a laptop. I mean, bless her heart, is like, and her father lived 100, so she's going to live for like another many, many years. But she's like, Dale, she's like, have you seen this? So clearly it's reaching everyone. And what was interesting is as they grow, you get the issues of density and you sort of get into like the problems of like a gym or an airline. If you're a co-working center and you start selling all these memberships, how do you know when you've reached capacity? How do you know when you're over capacity? How do you know when it's time to open another one like Starbucks, like literally across the street? You know, Starbucks, like every corner you see at a Starbucks. And so I think where the result of some of what the Internet of Things will help do for the actual shared space owners is give them that real-time intelligence and allow them to take all that data and then analyze it. And I think I'm hoping, and I see it happening, that it's going to allow them to run better centers and be more profitable, and we'll see further growth. Because I think in the past, without this technology, it was sort of, you did your best to do estimates. I mean, I don't know, you can probably speak to that because I know you've run spaces and like, you know, how challenging was it for you to try do some of this forecasting, try gather some of these metrics without this technology in place to give it to you in real time?
Yeah, I mean, it's manual and time consuming. So two big barriers to actually doing it. And so, yep, you tend to find ways around it, which is not good. Yeah, much more effective to be running your business with data that's easy to acquire so you can analyze it quickly.
And I think, too, what's interesting is that there's so much data coming at you. So if you're trying to do it manually, it gets to a point where you're just like, it's not accurate. So I think what by connecting all these pieces, because if you could imagine like you're getting data from your door control and your Wi-Fi and your telephones and your parking lot and your pipes, and you need platforms to be able to manage all this data and then produce reports and results that can be summarized. So, I mean, because putting this all in Excel would just, I can only imagine you'd have to have an army of controllers to understand what to do with it. So I think
you need a dashboard.
Yeah, you need a dashboard. It's almost like back to the Audi example.
Yep.
I mean, you get in the car and the car is like, you know, spitting out a million things at you, but it's very organized. It's like, okay, well, your next service is in 10,000 miles and your oil's okay. And I'm sure that little computer in that car and the internet it's hooked up to is being fed a million different messages. And it's interpreting what it needs to tell me and what's important for me to get to that next point A to point B.
Yeah, so that'll start happening in all aspects of our life. Dale, any other thoughts on this topic?
I think we're going to see a lot more on this topic. I mean, it's obviously like you're starting to see it all over the internet and all over, you know, the Cisco acquisition was the front cover of CNN. That was on Wednesday. So I think if for both the shared space members, I think their experience is just going to get better and better. And shared space is just going to be a more and more attractive option for people who aren't already enjoying it. I think for shared space owners, I think it's something to pay attention to. I think that to ensure that you're able to provide that phenomenal experience and, in my opinion, run an effective shared space, I think that it's definitely should be on your priority of items to understand and to follow as it progresses.
That is a perfect summary. Yeah, it's no longer the Jetsons. It's coming. Yeah, it's like this tipping point is here. And I thought your summary was perfect. Well, thank you for the thought-provoking topic and conversation today. I really appreciate your time.
Definitely. Thank you so much. I appreciate you inviting me.
Yeah. And if you want to learn more about One Systems, you can find them at wunsystems.com. Thanks, Dale.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.